Psalms 107 and verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distress. Now here's the verse we're going to use as kind of a springboard into the message. Look at this. He maketh the storm a calm. And by the way, that's the title of the message. He maketh, or God maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, your blessing, please, dear God, as we try to preach the Bible this morning. Lord, I need your help this morning. And Lord, I ask, dear God, that you'd use the word of God to help minister to the hearts of each and every one here. Lord, for that one that may be unsaved, Lord, may they be brought to salvation. That one that is perhaps some backslidden, Lord, bring them back into fellowship. Lord, I pray that you'll put up the desire in the heart of a carnal Christian to be spiritual. And Lord, also that you would use this message to encourage those who are, Lord, doing their best to live right, do right, be right with you, but Lord, are still facing a storm of life. We pray, Lord, that you'll help them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, I snuck out right before during the last couple songs because my computer is in the midst of updating. I showed up at 7 o'clock this morning. I opened the message. I reviewed it. And then I was going to go run and do a few things and check on some things in the church. So I attempted to put my computer to sleep. Did you know you could put a computer to sleep? And so I popped the button up. It said sleep. It said restart, and then it said restart with updates. And I meant to click on sleep, and I hit restart with updates. That was just after 7 this morning. It's 87%, at least it was a minute ago, 87%. And I don't know enough about computers. I should have probably called Brother Klein and just said, Brother Klein, I really need my sermon notes that I just finished off this. And then, but I didn't call him. I should have. I started laughing because I thought, you know, what if this isn't done by the time the service starts? And I thought, well, surely it won't take that long. So I went about getting other things done, and I kept checking. And after about an hour, it was at 12%. And I figured by then I was in trouble. So I took out something called an ink pen. I haven't done this for years. Found a pad of paper. And went back and started over from scratch. I couldn't even look at what I'd done. And rewrote this message to the best of my ability. And so I have no idea how this is going to go this morning. It's almost like as I'm ready to preach on a storm of life, God decided to send me a little miniature one. So I'm pretty confident that it still is intact and it's reflects what was on there. My biggest fear is trying to read my own handwriting. I know there's going to be times where you just see me stop and I'm just going to go and I have no idea what I'm looking at something. I don't even know what that means. But you pray for your preacher. We're going to preach on this subject. He maketh the storm a calm. And I'm praying for a little calm right now. Amen. I met with our insurance agent this week. We do a yearly review. He brought another man with him, and we were going over the insurance on the church and the policies, and we do a yearly review of everything. This term came up in that meeting. They abbreviated an AOG, or an act of God, an act of God. And I thought to myself, what is that? So I looked it up. An act of God, it's used a lot of time in legal terms or connected with insurance claims. It means, watch this, a natural hazard accredited to supernatural activity. Now stay with me. a natural hazard accredited to supernatural activity that is outside of human control and beyond human prevention. And I got to thinking, boy, there's times where those things come into our life. And so another place I looked said this, an instance of uncontrollable natural forces. Think about that. And I got to thinking about this idea of the weather. You know, mankind has got to the point where we really believe that we can control most things. I mean, we manipulate the economy, and there's people that do. You know what? They manipulate politics, or at least try to. A lot of times people spend their life trying to manipulate the people around them. But you know what? If you look at this one area, and we're talking about the subject of weather, God chooses to use his creation from time to time to remind mankind that there are some things which are never going to be under our control. From time to time, God will use this. And if you think about it, weather's a perfect example of that. Every single one of us, we don't get a vote in the weather. Now, we may complain about it, but it's not going to change a thing. And I think one of my thoughts behind that is maybe we complain about the weather so much because really we're complaining that how dare God have something that we can't have a say in. Think about that. But when the Bible's talking about storms, it's not talking about physical storms, although you can certainly see the activity, the supernatural activity of God in the storms, and the Bible supports that. We just read in Psalms 107, as we read down verse number 25, "For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves thereof." Verse 24, "These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep." And when I was a little kid, I suppose I was like most little kids. I can remember at times running into mom and dad's room scared to death of thunder or lightning or something that happened. But I wasn't very old where that kind of did a complete switch in my life. And I think the more time I spent out in God's creation, the more fascinated I became also. I'd gotten saved, and I began to understand that this is how God expresses himself. This is where we see his power. This is where we see his might. The computer I have, if it ever turns back on again, every time I turn it on its own, it gives a brand new picture of some type of an outdoor landscape. And I don't think there's anything more beautiful than nature. And it's interesting, when I opened up the computer this morning before I pushed the wrong button, there was this beautiful picture of mountains and a stream, beautiful flowers. But at the top of the picture, the little bit of the sky that they showed, there was these black storm clouds rolling in. Sun was shining on this valley, but the black storm clouds were rolling in. And when that picture came up, I just stared at it. I just looked at it. It fascinated me. There was a part of me that said, I wish I could be there. I wish I could stand there and watch that. And I know while most people are running for the basement during a terrible storm, I tend to run out into the yard. I don't know. There's something wrong. But to me, it's incredible. It's wonderful. I say, preacher, aren't you afraid? Well, I think I know who's in control of it. And it's neat to watch what God does. There's some things that God just sends, and you know what? There's not a thing we can do about it. We can call them. If you want to call them acts of God, call them acts of God. I began to go to the Bible then, and I studied the word storm. We find that in our key verse here. He maketh the storm a calm. And I found that the word storm is preserved in the King James Bible 13 times in 14 verses. Job wrote about it two times. He's the first one chronologically that wrote the word storm in the Bible. God used him to pen it, and he did it two different times. And I thought, hey, how about that? Isn't that appropriate? I suppose if there's someone that would understand about the storms of life, it'd certainly be Job. The next person is King David. He was allowed by God to pen it down twice. One of them is in the chapter we read right here. And again, I look at David's life, and he faced the storms. Asaph wrote it down once. And then we see Isaiah as he stands as a prophet and watch the storm clouds of judgment gather and come towards Israel. He speaks of the storm four different times. The first two times, fascinating. He talks about God being the refuge from the storm. It's almost like this prophet came at first and said, there's a storm coming, and you're not going to stop it, Israel. You've crossed the line. You're not stopping God's judgment, but God is a refuge from the storm. The first two times, he encourages them to flee to God, turn to God, because the storm's going to come no matter what, but at least there's refuge in God. The last two times he speaks of the storm, he warns those who refuse to go to God, that are still running from God, and what the storm is going to do in their life. Isaiah spoke about the storm. Ezekiel wrote the word storm one time, and he wrote it in reference to Gog and Magog during the last days as they descend upon Israel. And he said they're going to descend upon Israel like a storm. And then when I read that, I had to laugh because I thought, if you go on and read the rest of the chapter, here they come like a storm, but they're going to run into the Creator who creates the storm. And they're going to find out that God is going to rise up and defend his people that day. Nahum chapter number 1, and the first three verses, I'll read them to you. The burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum. Elkoshite, God is jealous and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. Then the third verse, the Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. You know, folks, I think one of the reasons I like to see the storms and I like to see nature and I like to see God bring in the different weather patterns is, you know what, folks, it reminds me that we serve an all-powerful God. And you know what, when he decides something, it will be done. When he acts, there's not one man strong enough to hold back what he's going to do. It reminds us that God is almighty, almighty. Nahum certainly understood that. The last two times we find the word storm in the Bible, it involves our Lord Jesus Christ. One in Mark chapter 4, one in Luke chapter 8, and it's the same story in two different places, and that's where I'd like to take you next. But remember this, from Psalms 107 verse 29, he maketh the storm a calm. Let's first go to Mark chapter number 4, Mark chapter number 4. And I want to read this story to you where Jesus stills the storm, and I think from this story, we'll get some help this morning. Mark chapter 4 and verse number 35. Mark 4 verse 35. In the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over into the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was, speaking of Jesus, he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Let's read the other account. Go to Luke chapter number 8. Luke chapter number 8. You'll find the other account of this same story in Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse number 22. Luke 8, 22. And we read, now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over into the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they being afraid wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water that they obey him. I don't know about you, but I'm already being helped just by reading those two stories. Folks, we don't get a vote in some things. Some things are just going to come. Some storms are going to come into our life. I want to point out some things that I get out of both of these stories. Let me give you the truths, the Bible precepts. Let's lay the groundwork before we see what Jesus taught us in this story. Number one, the storm came although the disciples were obeying the Lord's command. Folks, these weren't people that were pulling a Jonah. This wasn't a Jonah-type situation. We go to the story of Jonah, and God told him to go a direction, and he ran the other direction. He disobeyed the Lord, and because of that, a storm came into his life. Aren't you glad that even in disobedience, God was still merciful to Jonah in the midst of a storm? Can somebody say amen? Have you ever been there where God probably should have done worse than he did? Even in judgment, we see God's mercy. He prepares that great fish to swallow Jonah and get him turned back in the right direction. But the storm came, although the disciples were obeying the Lord's command. Number two, the storm came, although the disciples were in the presence of the Lord. And Jesus was in the ship with them. I mean, if ever there was a time when they ought to felt like that things ought to go well, it's when they were obeying what Jesus told them to do. And they were with Jesus in his very presence. You think that that would be a safe and secure situation. But number three, the storm threatened the life and safety of these disciples, even though they were obeying the Lord's commands and even though they were in the presence of the Lord. You know, sometimes bad things happen to good people. You know, sometimes bad things happen to obedient people. You know what? God allows some storms, even if you're faithful to church. God allows some storms. Come on, I want to help you. Even if you are reading your Bible every day and praying. God allows some storms to come into your life, even during times where you say, preacher, as far as I know, I'm right with the Lord. If the Holy Spirit were to show me, I'd get it right. You know what? Sometimes the storms come. And by the way, I want to remind you, it is God that controls the storms. So if God allows storms to come into the life of even obedient Christians in the presence of God, that means that storms help us in some ways. Storms are necessary and important, or God would not allow these storms to come. This was not a light storm. This wasn't a few waves. Mark uses these terms, a storm of wind. He says the waves were beating into the ship, not upon the ship, into the ship. And he uses this little phrase, it was now full. Luke wrote these things. That the storm came down, there came down a storm of wind, and they were filled with water. And then he uses this last little term, they were in jeopardy. Now, folks, this was a real situation. I don't think the disciples were overreacting here. Here, they were in peril. The word jeopardy means in danger of perishing. It's not like they overreacted. It's not like they ran to Jesus when it just started. It's not like they weren't trying to, the Bible talks about them bailing out the water. They weren't trying to fix the situation themselves. But there came a point in time where they realized the situation was out of hand. And folks, they were going to sink if there was not a supernatural intervention. I'm here to tell you something, folks. The same God that brings the storm loves to show himself mighty in the midst of the storm. And so we see then that they wake up Jesus. Now, I want you to focus on Christ this morning. What a good place to focus, amen. Maybe we ought to say that every Sunday morning. I want you to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to see what he did. Because you see, folks, Jesus was going to use this storm to teach them something. And I think there's three things that I see Jesus did that taught a very big lesson. And one of them was, only one of them involved him saying anything. Stay with me. I wrote these three thoughts down. Number one, his sleeping taught them you can have peace in the midst of the storm. His sleeping taught them you can have peace in the midst of the storm. Now, what was the difference between the disciples that were panicking and the Savior who was sleeping? Is that he understood who controlled the storm. He understood who controlled the storm. You know what? Here he is sleeping of all things. When they wake him with accusations. Don't you care? Don't you care we're about to perish? Come on, folks. Have you ever been in the midst of the storm and you begin to say to your heart, come on, we're human. Lord, don't you care? Don't you care what I'm going through? Don't you care what I'm facing? This situation drove them to Jesus. This situation brought them to the Savior. And his sleeping taught them that you can have peace in the midst of the storm. Now, here's one of the things you have to learn, and it takes a little bit of time in the Christian life. Remember when I said I was little and I'd be in my room and I'd hear thunder and I'd hear lightning, and what did I want to do? I wanted to run. I wanted to find my mom and dad. I wanted to jump in the middle of their bed. Come on, you ever been asleep, moms and dads, and you think everything's good, and all of a sudden this kid just launches himself in the middle of, you know. You know, I wanted it to stop. I didn't understand it. Listen, I'm not upset with Christians that haven't been saved very long. And you know what? The storms of life, they come into your life. And you know, you think, wait a minute, preacher, I've gotten saved. I thought it was going to be smooth sailing. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying. I'm in the presence of the Lord. I'm doing the best I can. I mean, I'm not perfect at everything. And I know I fall short, but I'm sincere and I'm trying. Why did this come? When I was little, I didn't always understand the storm, but isn't it interesting that the more I got to know about the one who sends the storm, that when the storm came, instead of running to the basement, I wanted to run to the yard to see what God was going to do. And I want to encourage you as you're growing in grace. This is all, and we're going to see it at the end of the story, but these storms are all sent to increase our faith, to get us to the point where we trust the Lord. Have you ever done this, parents, where you're driving home and the kids are in the back? Maybe you're in the middle of a snowstorm, a terrible snowstorm. Maybe from the time that you went to where you were going and you're trying to get back home, ice has hit, And dad, you know what? It's not time to ask dad questions, okay? He's finally 10 and 4 or 10 and 2. He's finally 10 and 2. He's fully concentrated. And you're just saying to yourself, Lord, just get this thing home. Mom's sitting over there. And you know, I don't know why they just don't go ahead and put a brake on that side. I mean, she's always pushing something. At least even if it didn't work, she'd feel better. And it wouldn't wear the carpet out right there. And she's trying to help him drive over there, and he's intense. Watch this. And at some point, mom wants to make sure that they all got their seatbelts on, because you know we're going to die. And she turns around, and all the kids are asleep. And God lets things like that happen to teach us. You know, here's kids. Dad will get us home. Why aren't you all panicking? Aren't you worried? Well, because I've been in the car with Dad, and he's a good driver. He always gets us where we need to go. Watch this. I don't have to worry. Dad's got the steering wheel. Oh, I want to help you. Amen. Preacher, I don't understand it. I don't always understand it either. Preacher, I can't figure out why. Well, in time you will, but in the middle of it, you usually don't. You know, there's got to be a point in time where, hey, come on, stand out in the yard. You know, I don't think you ought to be silly about it. You know, if there's a lightning storm, probably not a time to start a baseball game and use aluminum bats. Probably not a good time to do something like that. But you know, it's good. Can I say this? I just want to testify. It's good having been saved now for over 50 years. It's good. Thank God I got saved young. Thank God, thank God I decided I'm not going to stay a baby Christian. Okay, every time there's a flash of lightning, I don't have to go run and jump and hide under my covers or crawl under the bed. You say, why? Daddy's got the wheel. Dad will get me home. Dad's driving the car. I can fall asleep. You know what? Jesus, by sleeping, was trying to tell his disciples, hey, these things are going to happen, guys, and I'm not always going to be here to fix it. But you know what? The same way that you trusted me after I'm gone, you need to trust in the Father, because he loves you and he will take care of you, and he's got the steering wheel. He's got the steering wheel. So I looked at his sleeping, and I thought, what did he teach us from that? His sleeping taught them you can have peace in the midst of the storm. Watch this. His staying taught them, I will not leave you in the midst of the storm. What do you mean, his staying? Well, I could take you to another one. If I had my notes, I have it written down in there. Another story in the Gospels where Jesus walked on the water. Okay? I mean, folks, if he wanted to, he could have woke up, looked around, and said, "Oh yeah, guys, this is bad. See ya." He could have. But he didn't go anywhere. Boy, I want to help you with this. He didn't go anywhere. He said, "I put you in this boat with me, and I'm staying in this boat with you, and we're all going to put our feet down on the other side." Can I say this, folks? That's a beautiful picture of life from the time that you get saved to the time you get to heaven. Say, "Preacher, what'd you do?" "I just decided I was going to get the boat with Jesus." And you know what? Aren't you glad for the promise that he said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee"? Now, if there's ever a time mamas aren't going to leave their kids, it's in the midst of a storm. Kids come running in. You know what? They all gather around. "Mom, Mom, what do we do?" "Well, we're going to gather together. Let's either go to the basement," or I don't know why they tell you to go to the bathtub. I really don't understand that. I have never seen the aftermath of a tornado, and there is a bathtub there, and everybody's fine in it. You know, I think it just makes us feel better, although it is weird if you think about it. I'm not even going down that road. That's one of those roads that said roadblock, but let's all get in the bathtub, amen. Hey, let me just say this. If you're a child of God, I don't know what you're going through, but Jesus isn't bailing on you. Come on. I don't know if there is a worse feeling for a human being to experience than being forsaken. Think about that. One of the reasons I'm teaching in our adult class, I'm going to encourage everybody. I would encourage you, and I know I'd love for every married couple to be able to be in the adult class for the 5 weeks I'm teaching on marriage, and thank God for our army of people that are working to take care of our young people and teach Sunday school classes. But I don't hardly ever say this where I say go to get on the website or ask for a CD, but you need to hear these things. But you know what? You know why I say don't ever say the D word? Because there is no worse thing that you can do to another human being than to be married to them, than forsake them. I've talked to kids. Good night. There's a reason the Bible talks about being kind, that pure religion to the widows and to the fatherless. And I know that the natural course of life, one spouse is probably going to die before the other one, but there's probably not a widow in here that hasn't at some point wept by themselves and said to their husband who's in heaven, "Why did you leave me?" Just the feeling of being alone, forsaken. I can't tell you the number of times, it started early. I got baptism by fire on this when, during Bible college years, we were taken to inner city Chicago, involved in that inner city work. And folks, listen to me. I'm talking about 9 out of 10 homes where there's not a daddy in the home. One of the things I just watched with those kids struggle with, and sometimes it came out in all kinds of ways, sometimes in anger and sometimes in just a sadness and sometimes in a despair. But a lot of the problems that we dealt with, when you got down and you really got that kid to trust you and really got that kid to open up to you, I mean, at some point in the conversation, they'd blurt out, "Well, why did my dad stay? Why did my dad stay?" Well, I'd like to be able to stand up here and say you're never going to have to worry about being forsaken on this earth. Some of you, your mind right now is going to a dear friend. And I mean, buddy, you had his back. He had your back. I mean, there was a relationship that was almost a Jonathan David type friendship, and you thought if anybody's always going to be there. But at some point they turned around and they walked away. Come on, that hurts. Well, I wish I could say those things are never going to happen in any of y'all's life growing up, but I can tell you this, God will never leave you and God will never forsake you. The minute that you trust Jesus as your Savior, you're adopted into the family of God. I remind our people this from time to time, but when the disciples asked Jesus, "Teach us to pray," it's hard for us to understand how astounding it was, because all they had was the Old Testament, and all they saw was an Old Testament relationship to Jehovah, and Jesus turns around to his disciples and said, "When you pray, pray thus, Our Father." Right. And I think the disciples, if we could have seen them, said, "What? This is the new relationship I bring. because of what I'm going to do. When you pray to God, the Almighty Creator, you say, Our Father, which art in heaven. Hey, let me say it again. Daddy's got the will. Right. Amen. Why are you sleeping back there, kids? Because Dad's got the will. But look out the window. No matter what's going on out the window, Daddy's in the driver's seat. But there's ice everywhere. Daddy's got the will. But the wind's blowing. Daddy's got the will. By staying, he taught him this. I will not leave you in the midst of the storm. And then I'll give you the last one. His speaking taught us, I'm still in control in the midst of the storm. And I was reading Psalms 107. And Psalms 107 drove me over here to these two stories. And I was so thrilled to see Jesus. I'm in Luke chapter 8. The Bible says that verse 24, and they came unto him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, but we perish. And he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. In the other portion of scripture, he says this, peace. And then there's a comma, be still. And that's how he would have said it, not peace, be still. He would have said, peace. Be still. Whew. You know what? God the Father brought that storm, and God the Son turned the storm into calm. Can I say this, folks? When Jesus came, he changed the entire circumstances of the human race. I mean, up to the time when there is the perfect sacrifice, up to the time that there's a Savior born in Bethlehem, up to the time where Jesus hangs on a cross and screams, it is finished, up to the time where a stone was rolled away and a Savior resurrected. You know what? All you could see on the horizons was a storm, but because of what Jesus did, he could step out of that tomb and say, peace! And then he looked at the storms and said, be still. Say, preacher, am I going to be in this storm forever? No. Preacher, it seems like I've lived in a storm. Stay with me. No, you haven't. Let's look at the weather outside. By the way, look out there. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day. Anytime the subject of, I think it was 1977, comes up, and those of you that were alive in 1977, I said, tell me about the weather in 1977. You know what you'd say? Remember that blizzard of 1977? Yeah. That was 1 week out of 52 weeks. How come nobody ever says, oh yeah, I remember this amazing spring day in 1977. Come on, I'm trying to help some of you. Oh, preacher, I needed this so much, my whole life's been one big storm. No, it hasn't been. Come on, I know, I like to preach on this. I mean, you know what, come on. My mom and dad broke me of sucking my thumb before I could walk. Still trying to break some of you from it, amen. My whole life's a storm. No, you know what? Today's a beautiful day. Yesterday, by the way, were you out on yesterday? It was a beautiful day. Hey, this has been a beautiful week. I'll tell you, we've had the worst. You know what? If we would add, I need to hit a reset button. If we'd add up the beautiful, nice, acceptable, above average days every year, and we really would add up the ones where God walked, turned loose the heavens and stirred and shook the earth, and really, I mean, it was a bad weather day. We've got a lot more to rejoice about than we do to complain about, amen. But you know what? When you're in the midst of this, at that point in time, it doesn't matter how many good ones you've had, you've got to deal with today. Preacher, is it going to last forever? No. This storm lasted for a while. This storm brought the disciples to despair. And this storm, thankfully, sent them to Jesus. And Jesus, by sleeping, said, you can have peace in the midst of the storm. By staying, said, I'm not going to leave you in the midst of the storm. And by speaking, you know what he did? He put an end to the storm. Hang in there. Hang in there. Come on. I know some of you are going through tough times. Hang in there. Preacher, this has happened. Okay, hang in there. Okay. The sun will shine again. the sun will shine. You know, there's going to be things that happen. But this story is preserved in God's word to teach us some things. Let me remind you of this. God is not as concerned with our comfort as he is with our improvement. I want to say it out loud one more time. We need the storms. But preacher, I think I'm doing right, and I think I'm doing good, and I'm reading my Bible, and I think I'm right with God. You still need a storm. You see, this storm came, and it was intense. And this storm placed the disciples in a situation where they could not control the circumstances around them, and that's good that every once in a while we are reminded who's really in charge. The storm drove the disciples to prayer. Say, what is praying? Praying is asking. Praying is talking to the Savior. The storm increased their faith. Why, by the time they got done with it, they said, what manner of man is this? He came and commanded even the winds and waters that they obey him. The storm helped them appreciate, watch this, the storm helped them appreciate the calm. And the storm glorified and magnified the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, folks, it's going to come. Preacher, we've been in some calm waters for a while. Amen. Good, good. Enjoy them. I mean it. By the way, come on. If we're going to gripe about the bad days, let's rejoice in the good days. Preachers, we've been through some calm waters for a while. Good, good. Is this the way it's going to be to the end? Probably not. Probably not. You know, we need the rain, just like we need the sunshine. Preacher, I don't know why it has to get so cold. I don't know. Move back down where Brother John is. And when you've got bugs that are that big, you're going to be glad there's some cold. Amen. When mosquitoes are big enough where they're carrying your children out of the backyard, you thank God that everything freezes in Indiana every once in a while and kills everything. I think I'm just going to not worry about it. I think when a storm comes, I might even get to the point where instead of running and hiding in the basement or running, jumping and hiding under the covers, I might just stand in the yard and say, I think God's getting ready to do something. I think I'm going to not have a childlike new Christian reaction to it. I think I'm going to have the reaction of somebody that has been saved 50 years and had some weathers and had to have some weathered some things. And young couples, I know you're not going to have the perspective of me and my wife. You can't have. I get that. But you know what? Every time you come through a storm and get on the other side, I hope your faith is a little stronger. You ever said this? How are we going to get through this? Well, after 50 plus years of going through, you know what? The answer is, well, I guess we're going to get through it like we got through the last 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 storms. We're just going to trust the Lord. Some of you need to get in the back seat. You're leaning over the front seat. Trying to help Dad drive. It's not time to bother Dad. You moms ever said this? Shh. No questions right now. No talking. Hey, Dad's got it. Dad's got it. Okay? Climb in the back. Go sleep. Trust the Lord. Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Have you no faith? My father sent that. If you go down, watch this. If y'all go down, I go down. Okay? Aren't you glad God gave you the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? He's in the boat with me. If I go down, he goes down. From time to time, there's going to be an AOG coming to your life. Let's learn from the Savior how to respond to that. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd use this message to encourage our people. Sometimes you can see a storm in someone's life, and sometimes it's a very private, quiet thing. Lord, I've learned again to trust you in this matter of your timing on messages, but I have no doubt that There's a handful of people that needed to hear that this morning. Lord, I pray that you would bless. Thank you, Jesus, for teaching me that I can have peace in the midst of a storm. Thank you for, by staying, teaching me that you'll never leave me nor forsake me, especially in the middle of a storm. And thank you, Lord, that I can stand up here after all these years and testify that there's no calm and there's no peace like that which is, that happens right after Jesus calms the storm. So I ask, Lord, that you'd encourage and bless and help these people. There's someone here without Christ as their Savior, Lord. They're in a boat by themselves. And they're living their life in a way you never intended. The Christian life is not a stormless life. But we have the Savior to go through it with us. Somebody's here without Christ. Lord, I pray that you'd bring them to yourself. We pray these things in Jesus' name.